If there's one thing I know about everybody in this room, it is that all of us desire happiness. This is the greatest reason why St. Jude, I think, attracts tens of thousands of pilgrims right here to St. Dominic's, the Shrine of St. Jude. They come to be relieved from some burden that is preventing that happiness, some sickness, some broken relationship, a financial hardship, whatever it may be. And God, in His mercy to us, has given us St. Jude with great power to intercede before the throne of God for us. God wants our happiness. And He wants our happiness in these petitions we bring before Him. But is this the only reason why St. Jude is causing so many miracles? Is there something more? Yes, there is something more, much more. Because St. Jude, other than these miracles that he grants here, these petitions that he grants, he wants to draw you into something much deeper. You see, he has access to something that God wants to give all of you. A greater level of happiness that fills that deepest void of your heart, that goes beyond any of the earthly petitions you ask him for. And what he wants is for you to have the happiness that comes only from living the very life of God. And in the statue we see of St. Jude, we see his eyes gazing on us with tenderness and compassion, and his consoling hand touching that image of Christ's face on his chest. And right there, he's inviting you to that life. And this week, you can begin to live this higher level of happiness through three virtues that God gives us to make it happen: faith, hope, and charity. These are the virtues that we call the theological virtues. And over the next week and a half, I will explore these virtues with you and explain how they can take root and grow in you. But to understand this, what this higher level of happiness that we're called to is, we have to ask a more basic question. Why do we seek happiness? What is the happiness that we seek? If you ask somebody who is ruled by their passions, they might say that happiness is maybe food, is pleasure, or money perhaps. This we might call a sort of first level of happiness, because they do bring us happiness to a certain degree. We can't lie. But at a certain point in our lives, we come to realize that these joys don't last. Pleasure is usually short-lived. Money comes and goes. Food doesn't last that long either. We begin to realize that happiness must be something more enduring, something that doesn't depend on that alone, on that pleasure alone. So Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher for which we owe so much of the way in which we express our philosophical tradition in the Catholic Church, Aristotle teaches us that a more enduring second level, we might say, of happiness comes from ordering our actions according to reason, in such a way that we are habitually disposed to doing things well. This habitual disposition to doing things well is what we call virtue. So, for example, if I wanted to become an excellent pianist, to develop the virtue of piano playing, I would have to develop good habits at playing piano well. And these are things I have to acquire. I have to work at it. I have to do scales, I have to do arpeggios, and I have to overcome all the bad habits I might have. And then once I do, I have the freedom and the joy of playing piano well. And if we transfer this same principle over to the moral realm, We might develop the virtue of courage if we have the consistent habits of facing our fears and not letting them from preventing us from pursuing the good. Just like piano playing or playing sports well, this occurs through practice and discipline. Maybe I'm willingly exposing myself to frightening things with the aim of handling my fears better, and over time, develop this virtue of courage. And once I've developed that virtue, I engage in it with joy. This level of happiness is truly much more enduring. We come to love doing things well with this for the sake of the good. And this same good ends up causing other things to flourish around us. It ends up creating a good family, a good job for ourselves, a good reputation. These virtues do contribute to our overall happiness. But in the end, these things too, while so much higher, are still not enough for us. Because we're still speaking at a strictly natural level. And our natures manifested in these bodies as all things pass away. Is this really it? Is this the end of our happiness, this natural good that we seek? We all know that it's not. We all know that we want more. And that's because, brothers and sisters, you were made for more. We hunger for more. You were made to touch into another level of happiness that goes beyond just that natural happiness. This third level is supernatural. It fills your insatiable thirst for eternity and endures any obstacle, any sorrow, any burden, even death itself. And this is because it is resting in divine happiness, which God invites us to participate in through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we live in this higher level, we don't just live happiness like ordinary human beings. We live like gods, being elevated to God's very divine life. But unlike human happiness, we can't just acquire this divine happiness by our own efforts, because we're not naturally divine. We can only do it through God infusing these virtues directly in us for us to obtain it. And these infused powers that God gives us are what we call the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. We call them theological. Theo, meaning God, because they come directly from God and are for the purpose of uniting us to Him. They are, in a very real sense, God's living presence in us. And each one of these virtues makes up for something we lack in our human nature and raises us to that divine life. Faith makes up for what we cannot obtain through our natural intellect and rational powers. We cannot, for example, know that Christ resurrected from the dead from purely scientific or philosophical arguments. It is something that we must ultimately take on a special kind of faith that comes from God. Likewise, hope gives us the willpower and perseverance to pursue that end of union with God despite the obstacles and pains and difficulties in the process. And finally, charity, the greatest of these virtues, gives us a share in that union with God here and now by living with God here and now. This novena to St. Jude is a perfect opportunity to reflect on these virtues, brothers and sisters, because it was these virtues that made St. Jude the saint that he is. The presence of God in him is what gave him the courage to leave Jerusalem after Pentecost and head for foreign lands to preach the gospel, allowing him to become an image of Christ, drawing myriads through that Christ-conformed life. And this is what God is calling you to be as well, a saint. And that is what happiness truly is, brothers and sisters. Beatitude, blessedness, being a saint. And not only can you be a saint, but you must be. God wants to dwell in your soul. He wants to fulfill your deepest longing, and he will do it if you allow him through the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. During this novena, I will talk about these virtues. And my hope is that in these next few days, I will be able to offer you something that you can take home, will be practical towards your spiritual growth. For tomorrow and the next day, I'll talk about faith. And then from faith, I'll move to hope. And then on Sunday, we'll move from hope to charity. In the meantime, as we begin this novena, let us ask St. Jude for the grace to live in the same living presence of God that made him a true and powerful intercessor. May this novena awaken in us that the same divine fire that burned in the heart of St. Jude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.